Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Prairie Unitarian Universalist Society. I'm Lynn Pavelski, a member of Prairie. I just want to let everybody know that Prairie aspires to be an open-minded and an open-hearted congregation. We welcome people of every color, every sexual orientation, every religious background, gender, or family structure. We welcome you no matter what your age or your abilities or inabilities. Later on, anybody who's here for the first time or hasn't been back for a little while, we welcome you to introduce yourself so that after the service we can get to know you a little bit better and welcome you personally. On Sunday mornings, we provide a wide variety of services presented either by a Prairie member, a member of the wider community like today, or by our minister, Sandy Ingham. Today, we'll have a presentation by Emily Auerbach. I need my notes. Who will be talking about the Odyssey Project at the University of Wisconsin? Our opening words will be read by me. Surprise. I have to look at my list. This is from H. Jackson Brown Jr. P.S. I love you. 20 years from now, you will be more disappointed by the things you didn't do than by the ones you did do. So throw off the bowlines, sail away from the safe harbor, catch the trade winds in your sails, explore, dream, discover. Now we welcome Ruth Calden up to read our chalice lighting this morning.
First in Spanish, al encender este cáliz, invocamos la presencia del amor en nosotros corazones para compartirlo hoy entre nosotros y propagarlo después al mundo. Así pues, que nadie se sienta extraño en este círculo y que todos sean bienvenidos. Lighting this chalice, we invoke the presence of love in our hearts to share it today among us and then spread it to the world. Therefore, let nobody feel a stranger in this circle, and may all feel welcome.
It's time for our presentation today. So I'd like to introduce Emily. Emily Auerbach is a professor of English at the UW-Madison and co-host of Wisconsin Public Radio's University of the Air. She's received numerous teaching, leadership, broadcasting, humanitarian, and arts awards for her work in bringing the humanities to both traditional and non-traditional students. In addition to speaking about literature at area libraries, retirement centers, service clubs, and prisons, she directs an outreach program called the UW Odyssey Project. Now entering its 12th year, the Odyssey Project provides a life-changing college humanities course free of charge to Madison area adults near the poverty level. Since its inception, the Odyssey Project has enrolled over 300 adults in a free two-semester course and has helped many of them continue their path toward college degrees and better lives. I'd like to welcome Emily, and she will be welcoming some folks as part of her program. Thank you. Thank you very much, and thank you for inviting us here today to talk about the Odyssey Project. I was looking over the mission statement for Prairie Unitarian Church, and I got really excited because the values are so closely aligned with our belief in the Odyssey Project. In particular, the notion that every person has worth and dignity and value, that we work together to find that common humanity, and that you look for ways as an individual to make a difference in terms of social injustice. And I think we all know that although Madison, which is where I grew up, Madison is home, seems so progressive in many ways, that we have terrible disparities, terrible achievement gaps and inequities right here among us. And so I applaud the mission of this group in trying to address some of those issues and in being so welcoming to all people that are here in the Madison community. I'm gonna give a little bit of background about the Odyssey Project, and then I have two graduates of the program that I'm gonna ask up just to share a little bit of what they wrote while in the course, because one of the goals of the Odyssey Project is to help people find a voice and to help them start using it to change the world. So the Odyssey Project, which as you mentioned in your introduction, is heading into its 12th year. This is an old banner. It's celebrating 10 years, but didn't want to do a new banner. But it grew out of a program that started in New York. And my colleague at Wisconsin Public Radio, Gene Faraca, had told me about a Clementi course in the humanities that was attempting to help lift people out of desperate financial means by exposing them to great works of literature, philosophy, and history to see if it could bring about a transformation. And for the work that the founder of that group, Earl Shores, had done, he won the National Humanities Medal for his work. Jean had him as a guest on her radio program and then became convinced we should start something like it in Madison, and approached me because I do outreach literature work of many different kinds. What she didn't know is that I would have a personal connection to the idea of making the humanities or learning in general open to those who have income barriers and other barriers that might get in their way of their participating. Let me just ask, how many of you have heard of Berea College in Kentucky? Wow, lots of people. Okay, I never know. A few hands that were down. So that for those who don't know, Berea College, it remains the only school in the country where you have to be poor to go there. It's designed mostly for Appalachian youth like my mother. My mother was born 12 miles outside of Knoxville with no running water, and no one in her family had gone to college. A teacher who saw that she was an avid reader told her about next door Kentucky and this place called Berea College where you didn't have to have any money to go to school. And she arrived there with a wardrobe consisting of one skirt and two shirts. If somebody had said, now buy a textbook, she would have had to go home. And I share that detail because sometimes I think we underestimate the barriers, the roadblocks that get put in the way of someone who is trying to break out of a cycle of generational poverty by going to college. And it's just assumed you can pay application fees and printer cartridges and textbooks and all kinds of things. So Berea is a Christian school, but they also decided to import a few others for diversity. And my father is a Holocaust survivor, a refugee from Nazi Germany. So his story of poverty was that of the refugee fleeing from a life to one with no means. And so he attended Berea. That's where he met my mother. And so I grew up thinking Berea was a normal place, you know, and that there were lots of such places. And so for me, when Gene Faraca told me about a sort of great books program, I was excited, but I didn't want just a class. I wanted a full-blown educational journey that would take students from the beginning, where you get them excited about great works, and then take them all the way to degrees and better careers and lives for themselves and their families. Because I think if somebody had given my mother a great books class and sent her home, it wouldn't have made the same kind of transformation. I can just tell you a few things about a few of our students. We meet, by the way, in the South Madison Library on Wednesday nights from September to May. We have dinner together. 30 students then work towards 6 UW credits, and then we help them keep going all the way to degrees. Or not necessarily degrees, but the lives that they're looking for. This student, Teresa, who was in our very first year and is looking puzzled when she's trying to read Hemingway, she just received in May from the YWCA one of the Women of Distinction Awards for her work as an activist in the Latino community. She also started a radio program in Spanish here in Madison. We have Billy over here who, was she in your class, Tosama? No, the year before that. She had been accepted at UW-Madison 10 years earlier, but had no money and also didn't have the confidence that she could make it. She was homeless at the time, and so she didn't start. She cleaned houses instead. And when after getting into the Odyssey Project, which is like a jump start where you can show what you can do, she then went back to UW-Madison, and she is about to earn her bachelor's degree in another semester or two, attending school at the same time that her son is going to UW-Madison. Josephine at the bottom here with a beautiful Sudanese outfit here and her mother attending, came to the United States as a refugee from Sudan. And she now not only has her bachelor's degree from UW-Madison, but is working toward her master's degree in social work at UW with a goal of working with immigrant families like she once was. We have brochures that if you didn't get one when you came in, I'll make sure that you get one on the way out. But there are pictures of all kinds of other students, like on the front of our brochure, Keegan, who is pictured with three children on Bascom Hill getting her bachelor's degree, was homeless for 6 months when she came to Madison. She just earned her master's in Afro-American Studies from UW-Madison and wants to be a professor. Inside the brochure is a picture of Tanisha Scott, who also was in our first year. She's depicted as wearing an honor cord from when she got a degree at Edgewood College, and that honor cord cost $35. Again, we used our Odyssey funds to help cover that, and she now works as a social worker, helping families at risk as she once was herself as a child. And I think that is, for me, the most exciting part of the Odyssey Project is watching transformations happen. As one student put it, the Odyssey Project allowed me to rewrite the story of my life. Before I go further, and also that before we take questions, I want to have two graduates of our program come forward and just share a little bit of what they wrote as part of the class. First student I'm going to ask to come forward, you might have seen her if you get the Madison magazine, because there was a pretty big picture on a story called Behind the Odyssey. And Sherry Bester was in the class of 2008 for the Odyssey Project, went on to UW-Madison, and I'm going to save what you're doing now for the end of what you're going to read, but please welcome the one and only Sherry Bester.
Hi, my name is Sherry Bester. I escaped and now live outside a burst bubble of boldness and brilliant belief that I am unconquered. Odyssey helped me break out of a clear glass, transparent, though invisible bubble of torment, shielding me once from the beauty, the wonder, and the power of educational freedom and what that freedom brings. I am a blessed, loved, grateful wife of one wise, sexy, hardworking, faithful husband, and mother of six beautiful, creative, healthy, gifted children. I'm a Christian, a prayer warrior, a Bible searcher, a crybaby, a dreamer, a homemaker, an artist, a dancer, a singer, an actor, a poet, a sewer, a cook, a creator, a teacher, a learner, a builder, a family person, a community person, a nation person, a fighter, a friend, and a lover. I'm a peacemaker who believes only love is what is worth fighting for. I love to dance barefoot and freely before the glory of the Lord. Last but not least, I'm a grateful UW-Madison Odyssey student, a community leadership major, a Madison graduate, a UW-Madison graduate student now in the School of Social Work. And I thank Odyssey and Emily Fowler.
And I'm hoping in our question time that Sherry and Tosamba answer some of the questions here too. Next student that I'm gonna call up is a graduate from a couple years ago who is now attending Madison College, working on his liberal arts transfer degree. And he is also going to be doing some readings for Wisconsin Public Radio coming up as well. But I'm gonna have Tosamba Welch share a few things that he wrote as part of our class and that he delivered at graduation. So please welcome Tosamba Welch.
Good morning. My name is Tosamba Welch. I'm an Odyssey graduate, 2013. And in class, we were asked to write a paragraph starting with two words, I love. And this is what I wrote. I love my Webster's Dictionary with a great passion and sense of dependency. Webster's has never stood me up, let me down, or led me astray. Never. It tells me secrets that sometimes no one else can even imagine. One time I was walking through a path of words, and there were blank spots on that path. Out of nowhere, Webster's replaced those blank spots with words, and I was able to continue my walk. I have never known Webster's to be anything but perfect. Webster's has given me 230,000 reasons to be in love with it. I am in love with my Webster's. One text we read in class was Plato's Allegory of the Cave. And here's what I wrote about that. In this cave, I lived from birth, not even knowing I was living in a complete ignorance. I call this natural ignorance of life, being unaware of the truth and reality of this world. I've been mentally shackled to this form of living so long it has become all I know. For 10 years, I have been physically shackled because of my ignorance and asinine decisions and mistakes. I was lost, but found by a road called Odyssey. My chance to turn this life around. And now a journey begins to empower me with higher education, the ultimate source of power. Thanks to my Odyssey professors, classmates, and the material we've read together, I can truly say that I have escaped the cave of ignorance. Odyssey has led me to a never-ending journey of life and a limitless road to higher education. I will close with some words of Dr. Martin Luther King that I shared at my Odyssey graduation. So I say to you, my friends, even though we must face the difficulties of today and tomorrow, I still have a dream. It is a dream that is deeply rooted inside the American dream that one day this nation will rise up and live out the true meaning of its creed. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal. Let freedom ring when we allow freedom to ring, when we let it ring from every village and every hamlet, from every state and every city. We will be able to speed up that day when all God's children, white men, black men, Jews, Gentiles, Protestants, and Catholics, will be able to sing in the words of the old Negro spiritual, "Free at last, free at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last."
I think that just woke up all the neighbors. That's good. We need to wake up the neighbors, so that's great. I hope that the two examples that I brought with me from our 330 graduates of this program give you some sense of the eloquence, the power, the gifts that come into the classroom that I work with. I feel so honored and blessed to have that opportunity. One of the students in the class said, "The Odyssey Project helped me unwrap my gifts." And that's how I see it, is that the Tosamba and Sherry and the others that come into the class have tremendous gifts and often just need the opportunity, the forum, the encouragement to use those gifts. One of the exciting things too is the family effect that we see. Sherry has had two of her sons go through the Odyssey Project. We had Juanita became our oldest Odyssey graduate at age 71 when she went through our program, and we just graduated her granddaughter this spring. Annette, who's working for Project Respect, which works with getting prostitutes off the street, and she is working on toward her degree. Her daughter is going to be in our class that starts September 3rd. Her daughter has 11 children, including a set of triplets and a set of twins. And sometimes if you work with one person in a family, whole families start to change. That was true in my mother's case, where after she went to Berea College, so did her younger sister, who then went on to become a math teacher. And that sister's children went to Mount Holyoke, Wellesley, and Harvard Medical School. You open a door, and all kinds of exciting things happen for a family and for a community. I didn't bring copies for everyone because it would be a lot to carry, but I mean, they're copies of the brochure and of a bookmark, but we also have selections of students' writing, and I'd be glad to send you one if you leave me your name. They were prepared for our 10th anniversary, and we have some extras. And we also have a film. It's on our homepage, but I also have DVD copies. It has students talking about the program, and it's a very bittersweet film for me. Katie Tsai produced it for the Big Ten Network, and it features both my parents talking about their backgrounds, and my mother died just a week before it aired on national TV. So it's a very bittersweet, but I think, moving introduction. So I'm happy to give copies to anyone who wants to know more about the program.
I found out about the Odyssey program through Chris, the librarian at the South Library. Early in the morning, I used to go and she was teaching me things on the computer before the library and from another Odyssey student.
Actually, I was in AODA, Alcohol and Drug Assessment Program, and my instructor had us to write a poem about why is it important to understand and accept diversity. And after she read this essay that I had wrote, she pointed me out to Miss Emily, and I went there and I interviewed with her, and I even gave her a little taste of that king, which I think was the ultimate pushover to get into the program. But I honestly has been the eye opener for me. It did unleash a lot of talents that I probably had instilled all my life, and I'm on fire for higher education. There's nothing now that will stop me.
Well, when I started, I tried to model it after the Clemente course, but I quickly learned that that didn't match my own teaching philosophy as much because I like to bring in the arts, which was not part of the original, you know, philosophy, history, academic texts, classical texts, and only the Western canon. So we add in creative writing, theater. Theater is really important.
In fact,
Gary Gates's granddaughter, Shalonda, was in the program same year as you, right?
Yep.
And was very shy. And getting up and acting, doing Shakespeare, Raisin in the Sun, you know, sometimes for a lot of people help them come out of their shell and start speaking out. We do a newsletter, we do a lot of creative writing. And the other thing is the way I teach it more and more is, let's say we're going to read Macbeth, well then we try to set Macbeth in somewhere else, in an urban setting, and we find Ebenezer Scrooge as a Madison landlord. So I guess we may read some of the same books like Plato's Allegory of the Cave or Douglass's narrative of his escape from slavery, Martin Luther King's letter from Birmingham Jail, Gandhi, Thoreau's Civil Disobedience, poetry by Langston Hughes and Emily Dickinson. But what we do with it has gone more and more into a sort of, let's read it, and now you write your blues poem. Now you write your scene from a play. We have had, by this point, over 1,000 individuals help us as donors or volunteers. So, and we have had articles that go out in the newspapers or, you know, on TV or something. So I've never lacked for students who find out. In fact, the very first time I offered it, we had almost 100 applicants for those 30 spots. There is a hunger in this community for a free college jumpstart course. We do have community groups that help bring a meal on a Wednesday night because we serve supper. The first year, Jean Frock and I made the meals and that got old. But we have different churches that'll sign up for a Wednesday and bring a meal, or the University League or my book group or whatever. We have had people who hold a fundraiser at their house and invite all their neighbors and friends. So different ways.
And I want to add that Odyssey and Emily reaches out to the Madison Metropolitan Schools through Family Voices because partnerships are forming. And that has gone on for like 11 years. And my children and my husband, we've been a part of Family Voices. So that's how Odyssey reaches out to the Madison
schools. Oh, yeah. And I forgot about the schools. And we also speak to the Work and Learn program and some of the programs that are designed for high school students that start to drop out, like through the Omega School as well.
So,
yeah.
The other day I was on the Madison Metro bus and I asked a young lady who was Martin Luther King, and she said he was the first black president. And alone it being what it was really hurtful to hear her say that and not know who he was. So along with what I just did is speaking as Martin Luther King, for anybody that work in the schools, I am willing to come into the schools and bring back these African-American historians by performing them in the schools at assemblies or any kind of special occasions that they're having. So if you would like that, you can give me your email and take mine and we can go from there.
In other words, once you finished in 2008,
wow.
How was
I? I can't, there's no time for me to explain because I was helping every way, including, like I said, there's times my husband has gotten sick because he used to do social work and he was even in the paper for his social work and stuff he's done. I've been helped through help with people supporting and encouraging me and my husband, my two children. I also have a nephew on my husband's side of the family graduated. I've been helped daily through different students, through Emily, through different professors, through when I'm on campus, through when I wanted to just come get snack bars from Emily because I didn't have lunch, you know, lunch money. When I lost a lot of weight, different people for graduation gave me all kinds of clothing. So in every aspect of different things in my life, so many professors, so many people through university, so many students, you know, just have helped my family. So all those connections have helped. I mean, in every way that I've needed, spiritually, mentally, physically, I mean, transitions with food or with incomes changing. You know, like I said, to develop a whole new wardrobe, I got that mostly through graduation presents, through students, through, I mean, just everyday needs and through the drama of acting. That just to think of a student doing that or reading a poem or stuff I'd studied about Shakespeare, that would encourage me mentally. So I can just go on and on so many ways, from Emily to the staff to the students to UW. I mean, just endless ways.
And I would say we have kind of an educational support group because it is lonely to try to go to college. And so I have a lot of students who will be in my office just for a hug or whatever, but also there's the practical side. We help with textbooks, we help with application fees, and that continues even into graduate school because, for example, I mentioned that Keegan, who just got her master's, when she got accepted in graduate school with what we thought was a full fellowship, we thought, okay, now we've got it made. But the fellowship check she was going to get was October 1. And she needed books, you know. So there are all kinds of unanticipated things. And we try to raise money. More than half our budget now goes toward helping our graduates as opposed to helping the 30 new students that we've got coming in each year. I'm determined that as to the best ability possible, if we have an intelligent, talented, motivated student who wants to go forward in school and they've tried every means possible to get financial aid and what's standing between them and continuing is money, lack of money, we'll do everything in our power to help because it's so unfair to have somebody have to stop simply because they don't have the funding.
After I graduated, I was going into my first semester at MATC without knowing anything. And I got a lot of support through counseling, through different departments in the Odyssey that helped me with student advising, because they're connected with MATC, now Madison College, to where they help your transfer, they help you in your transition. And I had, it was not easy getting together, but the Odyssey staff was so excited, I couldn't allow them to be more excited than me to go to school, so I had to get fired up. And they had always been there, and they was my main support going straight out of Odyssey, straight into MATC through the liberal arts transfer student. I would definitely be a Badger, so I'm really looking forward to it.
And Tosoma was one of the two winners last spring, I guess it was, of the first Wanda Auerbach Memorial Scholarship to help, in my mother's name, to help students keep going. I just want to add, since you brought up Shalonda, actually, Sherry, why don't you read what Shalonda read at her graduation ceremony?
My father was adopted by a white woman and man. Most of my childhood, I felt as if I was in a cave, somewhat embarrassed to have white grandparents. I love my grandparents to death, but growing up, it was hard for me to go out in public and have people stare and mumble at me. Why is that little black girl with those white people? Mm-hmm. I'm the shy type, so to me it wasn't a good feeling at all. I didn't like people judging me or questioning the fact that I had white grandparents. I'm now 24 and I feel like I have come to the light because I don't care what people have to say about it. Their opinions don't matter.
I'll go anywhere with my grandparents with my head held high. I don't care about people staring or mumbling because I'm proud to be the granddaughter of a Caucasian woman and a Caucasian man.
All right.
In order to be in the program, students need to be at least 18 and have a GED, HSED, or a high school diploma. The first year I didn't require that, but I don't want to compete with the Omega School because they do such a good job. So we are requiring that. They have to be able to read a newspaper in English, be free on Wednesday nights. And what I look for when interviewing students for the program is that sense of hunger for learning and that feeling that the program could make a life-changing difference. You know, sometimes I'll get goosebumps when I'm listening to students who come in for the interview and you know that they really want to go somewhere further in their life. And both Sherry and Tosamba are parents and grandparents. And so, you know, it, affecting their lives affects a whole network of others. One of the things that, because I agree with you, sometimes you go to something and you get excited and then nothing comes of it. And what would be really wonderful is if each of you went out this door and found 10 people. You know, if I could give you a film or share, you know, film is a good way. It's 24 minutes. Gather people, have them watch it. Or, you know, we had one person who had actually come and helped us with meals. She decided to do a fundraiser in June at her house. She was a retired lawyer, invited all the lawyers she could think of and neighbors and others. I think they had about 100 people. I took a couple of other students, not these two, but other two, because we have so many to choose from. It's like everybody has enthusiasm and something to offer. And they raised $14,000 just at this one 2-hour gathering at their house. And more than that, they spread the word. So we have now people who have offered to give us pro bono legal help, help us with as writing tutors or helping to fill out college applications or FAFSA forms. We need help of all kinds. And I think the best thing would be, you know, sometimes people have been gathering together to sponsor a student. So we have an Alliant Energy student. We have 5 EVHU scholars that would be sponsoring a spot for a student to get through the program. But whatever talent or skill you have, and whatever network of people you know, that can be useful to us. Because I think you had asked me, you know, how do I get the word out? I probably don't do as good a job at that because I'm busy teaching Emily Dickinson or, you know, Martin Luther King or whatever. So spreading the word is really helpful. Thank you for asking. There are Clemente courses in other states, you know, that are something like what we began as a modeling ourselves after. But we now do have people, you know, I was invited to Stanford University and to, I'm going to Middle Tennessee State University. Or, oh, okay. Yeah. I'm sorry. you know, UW Waukesha is starting a pilot program. Somebody from Texas came and sat in. I agree with you. There's no reason there couldn't be a program in Beloit like ours. There was a Clemente course in Milwaukee, but it shut down after 2 years for lack of funding. And when Jean Faraca had originally told me about the program, she said that to expect a dropout rate of at least half, so that if you started with 30 students, you were lucky if you had 15. And I know Milwaukee graduated 12. We usually graduate 30. Wow. You know, we have like the highest retention rate. My feeling is that it is partly because we do, first of all, we involve the arts and creating material. We have a family-like warm atmosphere. We have our alumni come back and mentor the new students. And we sort of anticipate all the different things that can get in the way. We have free childcare. That's a big one. And so we sort of anticipate all the things, you know, that might get people down. So. Yeah. Thanks for having us.
Closing words are in number 694 in the back. I'll just go ahead and read them from Frederick Gillis. May the love which overcomes all differences, which heals all wounds, which puts flight to all fears, which reconciles all who are separated, be in us and among us now and always. Thanks everybody for coming. Please extend the hand of friendship to those around you. Say hi to our new folks who are visiting us today. And please join us for coffee and conversation.